glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. I was hoping to coordinate with Donna Leland, a God sighting filled program, talking all about how God has raised up WDKR 107.3 FM to his glory, lifting high the name of Jesus. But we'll save that for another program as part two by Rick Warren, What It Means to Follow Jesus, looking at We Are Ambassadors, is about an hour long, so if I fit it into today and next Tuesday and Wednesday, it'll work just right. So I'll save my God sighting stories about WDKR for another time. I also would ask for prayer for Joe Rother. He's been a key volunteer and helper and engineer that has assisted us in so many ways. And last night we learned he may have had a stroke, so we are praying him up and asking God to bring about healing and hope and restoration and good health. And we also include his wife, Krista, that she'll have peace of mind and the wherewithal to assist in all the ways she's needed. Today we are looking at We Are Ambassadors, and this is part two, but it'll be placed into today and next Tuesday and Wednesday's edition of Mark and Friends. And this is a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in the series What It Means to Follow Jesus.
We're going to continue this weekend in the series I started last week called What It Means to Follow Christ. And during this five-week series, we're looking at five words that describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Last week, we looked at the word disciple, about Jesus' definition of what it means to be a disciple. This week, I want us to look at the word ambassador. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are Christ's ambassadors. If you're taking notes, circle that word. We are Christ's ambassadors. Now, what is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative sent out on a mission to build relationships. That's usually what an ambassador is. A representative sent out on a mission in order to build relationships. Now, there are political ambassadors. There are economic and business ambassadors. There are cultural ambassadors. There are goodwill ambassadors. And the Bible says there are spiritual ambassadors. And we are Christ ambassadors. If you are a follower of Christ, the Bible says you are an ambassador for him in the world. So what I want us to do this weekend is three things. I want us to look at the role of an ambassador. I want us to look at the responsibilities of an ambassador. And I want us to look at the rewards for being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Let's get right into it. First, what is my role as an ambassador? Well, what it means, number one, it means that if I'm an ambassador, I am a representative of Jesus. I am a representative of Jesus. I represent Jesus in the world. Now, to understand this, you need to understand the difference between your career and your calling. You need to know the difference between your job and your vocation. You might work at Taco Bell, but you're not called to Taco Bell. You might work as an insurance salesman, but you're not called to be an insurance salesman. There's a difference between your vocation and your job, between your career and your calling. Now, the word vocation comes from the Latin word voce, which is the word for voice. We get the word vocal from it, like a vocalist or a vocation. It means your calling. It has to do with your voice. Now, I was talking to somebody a while back, and I said, what do you do? It's a person I just met. I said, what do you do? And they said, well, I'm actually an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. I talked to a woman one time. She said, I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a professional basketball coach. So what's your disguise? You are an ambassador for Jesus. If you're a follower of Christ, that's your primary calling. You're an ambassador for Jesus. But you may be disguised as a mom, as a nurse, as a truck driver, as a mechanic, as a realtor, as a salesman, or whatever. That's your job. That's your career. But that's not your calling. It's not your vocation. The Bible says this on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 1. God saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own grace and purpose. Now notice it says, he has called us. He has called us. What's your calling? This week I looked up the phrase calling and what we're called to do in the Bible. And the Bible says this in Romans 1:7, we're called to be his people. John 15, we're called to be God's friend. 1 Corinthians 1, we're called to be holy and we're called into fellowship. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, we're called to speak for Christ. Galatians 5, we're called to serve each other. And Colossians 3, we're called to live in peace. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 says we're called, in verse 29, called to become like Jesus for God's purpose. 1 Peter 2, we're called to suffer for him. In 1 Peter 3, we're called to bless those who curse us. 1 Timothy 1 says we're called to eternal life. And 2 Thessalonians 2 says we're called to share his glory. That's your calling. It's not your career, but it's your calling. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador. You have an assignment, and your assignment is to build relationships. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus as an ambassador, it's going to have to affect the way you live. It's going to radically change the way you live. In fact, the Bible says this, Philippians 1:27, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. It says if you're going to be ambassador, you're going to be a representative of Jesus, you got to live like it. You can't just name the name without playing the game. You've got to back it up with your life. We need to remember that we represent Jesus. Many years ago, when I was a high school student, I was selected as one of 8 students in this state, in California, to be ambassadors to the International Congress on Science and the Environment. And they said, it's going to be 8 high school students, and you're going for a week, all expenses paid, we're giving an unlimited credit line, and no chaperones. What a life. And so I'm one of the 8 ambassadors from the state of California as a high school student to go to this Congress. As I'm walking out the door, my dad says to me, son, remember who you represent. Remember who you represent. I didn't just represent California. I represented the Warren name. And I didn't just represent the Warren name. I represented Jesus Christ. I think it's a good phrase we need to ask ourselves quite frequently as we get up in the morning. When you're going out for the day's work, remember who you represent. When you're out playing a pickup game of ball, remember who you represent. When you go into a grocery store or a theater, or you're in line with traffic, remember who you represent. When you're frustrated with a clerk and you want to chew them out, remember who you represent. If you name the name of Christ, the Bible says you are an ambassador of Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 this, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And I have been called to represent Jesus in the world. And so have you. This is not just for pastors. It's for every believer. Now, number 2, an ambassador not only represents someone. Number 2, I've been given a mission. That's the second thing an ambassador does. You're given a mission. Ambassadors are sent on diplomatic missions. In fact, the embassies where ambassadors work are called permanent missions. I've been in many of them around the world, in many capitals of different countries. I've been to the American Embassy And usually when we go into a major city, like a capital, we'll get invited to the embassy just to meet with everybody. And they're called the permanent mission. The permanent mission to China, the permanent mission to Australia, the permanent mission to Israel, the permanent mission, whatever. Because the word mission is what an ambassador does. Now, Jesus said this in John 17. He said, in the same way that you, Father, gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Did you know that you have a mission? That the moment you step across the line spiritually and you become a follower of Jesus, God has a mission for your life, and that is to be his ambassador. Now, when you're on a mission, friends, that's all that matters. You're not there to see the scenery. You're not there to take pictures. You're not there to try the local cuisine. As an ambassador, you're there on a mission. These guys who are over in Afghanistan and Iraq right now, they're not there for vacation. They were sent by our country to get a job done. And so they're not there just sitting around drinking martinis or margaritas and listening to Jimmy Buffett. They're actually working. They have a mission to accomplish. Now, of all of the missions in the world, the most important mission of all is helping people get to know God and settle their eternal destiny, because they're only going to be on earth for 60, 80 years, but they're going to be in eternity for trillions of years. And so our mission, the mission of ambassadors of Christ, is more important than any other mission, than a mission to the moon or a mission to some other country. The Bible says this, Paul says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell other people the good news about God's grace. He says, my job is to complete my mission. At the end of his life, Paul said, I finished the race. He completed his mission. He said, I did what God told me to do. Are you going to be able to do that? One day when you stand before God, he's going to say, did you complete the mission I gave you? Oh, I didn't even know I had one. Well, yeah, you did. You think I put you on earth just to live for yourself? No, I put you on earth for a mission. Now, the Bible says not only am I given the responsibility of representing Jesus, and not only do I have a mission, number three, this is real important, I have been given authority to speak. I've been given authority to speak. Now, sometimes, you know, we don't feel very confident in talking about God to other people. And maybe we feel a little insecure or a little unsure, a little timid, a little hesitant. We go, who am I to talk to anybody about Jesus? You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I'm not a professional witnesser or whatever. I don't know what to do. But God says, nope, you're authorized. And he says, whenever I ask you to do something, and I ask you to represent me, and I ask you to have a mission, and I ask you to speak for me, he said, I'm going to empower you to do it. And in Matthew 28, Jesus said this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Circle the phrase, all authority. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Obviously, God has all the authority in the universe. And he says he's given it to his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, because I've been given all authority, he says, I'm going to authorize you. Therefore, go to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he goes, you can count on this. I will be with you always. Now, that verse is called the Great Commission. It is our commission. It is our mission in life. And the Great Commission was not given to pastors. It was not given to missionaries. It was not given to priests or elders or professional evangelists. The Great Commission Jesus gave to every one of his followers. It's your commission. And one day God's going to say, did you do the commission I gave you? Did you do the mission? Somebody gave you the good news because they represented me to you. Did you pass it on? Did you share it with anybody else? And he said, I have all the authority and I'm authorizing you to speak. Now, there's a word most of you have probably never heard of. It's the word plenipotentiary. Plenipotentiary is a diplomatic term. Some of you don't know that I'm a member of the Council of Foreign Affairs. And there's a term that's often used in foreign affairs called plenipotentiary. It's a Latin phrase that literally means full power. And what a plenipotentiary is it's somebody who is authorized to represent a government with offers without having to check back with anybody else. A plenipotentiary is someone who can negotiate on the behalf of a country without having to say, I'll get back to you. During the Revolutionary War, John Adams and Benjamin Franklin were both plenipotentiaries to both France and to England, which means they were authorized by our young government to sign treaties without it having even to be approved by Congress. That's how much power they were given. And they were saying, we give you the authorization to make the offer in our behalf without having to check back with us. Now, historically, the people who have this ability, there's a word for them. They're called ministers. Now, when we think of minister today here in America, we think of like pastors and we think of people in churches. But around the world, minister is often a plenipotentiary. For instance, we talk about a minister of state or a minister of commerce or a minister of foreign affairs or a prime minister. We don't use these terms in America. We use the term president. We use a secretary of state, secretary of commerce, secretary of foreign affairs, things like that. But most of the world uses the word minister. And a minister is somebody who has been authorized to act on behalf of somebody else. Well, that's really a cool thing because the Bible says that you are authorized as a minister of Jesus Christ. Every Christian is an authorized minister of Jesus Christ. You're not a pastor. You're not a priest. You're not a full-time Christian worker, but every believer is a minister. The Bible teaches this over and over. And he says, you are authorized to speak on my behalf. You don't have to go check with anybody else. You can talk in the name of Christ to other people. And he says, you represent me. I've given you a mission and I'm giving you the authority to speak. Now, there's one other thing you need to remember as an ambassador. Number four, and it's this. I serve in a foreign culture. You've probably never thought about this. But if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, your home is not on earth. Your home is in heaven. Your homeland is in heaven, and your identity is in eternity. Because you're only going to spend a few years here on earth. You're going to spend a few decades, five or six, maybe seven or eight decades here on earth, but you're going to spend trillions of years in eternity, and God did not make you to spend eternity on earth. God created you to be a part of his family, and that family is going to be on trillions of years in eternity. So he's saying, this isn't my home. And as an ambassador, I'm simply on a short-term assignment. Now, where does an ambassador live? In their home country or in a foreign country? They live in a foreign country. So, for instance, America's ambassador to China lives in China. And America's ambassador to Japan lives in Japan. They don't get to live in their home country. Ambassadors don't live in their home country. They live in somebody else's country. In fact, they often live in enemy territory. During the Cold War, American ambassadors lived in all the communist nations, even though they were our enemies and were actually trying to bring us down. And so an ambassador will often live not just in a foreign country or culture, but in an alien or enemy culture. And he says, that's what you are as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. This world is not your home. You're just a passing through. He said, you were made for eternity. You were made for heaven. If you want to go back and read on this, in the first seven chapters of Purpose-Driven Life, I talk about this in detail. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, here on the screen. If you call God your Father, he says, live your time as temporary residents on earth. An ambassador And I've met a lot of ambassadors around the world. They don't buy a permanent home, whether they live in Paris or in Rio de Janeiro or anywhere else. They rent. Why? Because they know I'm just an ambassador. And when the next administration comes in, they're going to appoint a new ambassador. So they say, we're not going to stay here for the rest of our lives. Nobody moves to a country and then lives there their entire lives if they're an ambassador. You're there on short-term assignment, and you're in a foreign culture, and you're not really in your homeland. What Jesus is saying here is, don't get too comfortable living in this world. You're just an ambassador. You're just an ambassador. Don't get too comfortable. Don't think that this life is all there is here on earth. Don't get sucked into the myth that all there is the here and now. And don't forget your role. Your role is not to create a little cushy pad and make your life as comfortable as possible. That's not your role. Your role is an ambassador. Your role is to represent me, to fulfill your mission, and to speak in my name with authority, and you're doing it in foreign territory.
While listening, friend, have you considered yourself as being an ambassador for God? What a high calling and privilege. You may see yourself as a disciple of Jesus, that he's your Lord and Savior, but to be the representative of him, to be God's ambassador sent on a mission and have been given authority? Wow, God. This message by Pastor Rick Warren, We Are Ambassadors, is part two of the series, What It Means to Follow Jesus. Yesterday and last Tuesday and Wednesday, we looked at what it means to be disciples. And we'll continue next Tuesday and Wednesday with the remainder of this message, We Are Ambassadors, what it means to be an ambassador of God. And we'll continue looking at your role as an ambassador as you serve away from home, and then the responsibilities to set an example, to share the message, and to show love. And that'll be next Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, as mentioned on the front end of the program, I'm hoping to coordinate with Donna Leland some storytelling time to share the various God sightings on how we got WDKR 107.3 FM on the air last week. And so that'll be a real fun broadcast that I can't wait to share with you all. So as you're traveling around central Illinois, from whatever direction as you head towards Decatur, you should be getting an ever-increasing strong signal of 107.3 FM with great God-honoring programming that will bless you. We're so excited to have it on the air, lifting high the name of Jesus and proclaiming that good news message that God loves you and he has plans and purposes for your life. Now, because part two, We Are Ambassadors by Rick Warren, was about an hour-long message, I felt it best to start it today, and it'll finish up on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So I hope you can join us again. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, send it on to a friend, or maybe you can't tune in on Tuesday or Wednesday. It will be archived so you can listen anytime at greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.